ओम ज्ञान श्रीरामदस्य ज्ञानांजना सलाकाय चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभुं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामाय ददाति स्वाहदन्तिकम्। ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पश्चात्प्रवेशचारिणे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यो च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। Today we are observing the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We happen to be with our Srila Prabhupada in Surat on the occasion of his Guru Maharaj's disappearance day. And Srila Prabhupada instructed that the appearance and disappearance of the spiritual master, of the pure devotee, on the absolute platform, both are beautiful. Just like the sunrise and the sunset, both are beautiful. Srila Prabhupada commented that His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, appeared in this world to execute a mission, the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Parampara. And when his mission was completed, he left to go to some other place where he would engage in the same mission. So we all have a very personal debt of gratitude to His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because it was his wish and desire and direct instruction to our Srila Prabhupada that he come to the West and spread the holy name of Krishna and the message of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born as the son of great Acharya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such a powerful and prodigious personality that he was called the seventh Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prominent disciples, who wrote many books and performed many services with the six Goswamis. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was called the seventh Goswami. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was his son. He had a number of sons. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, well, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had prayed that Krishna send someone who could continue his mission. Such a person who descends from the spiritual sky in order to perform the mission of preaching the glories of the holy name and the message of Krishna is called a ray of Vishnu. And from the beginning, there was indication that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was such a personality. He was born, generally, you could say in February, and at the time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a magistrate in Jagannath Puri. And the chariot of Lord Jagannath passed in front of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's residence. Rath Yatra is generally in July. So maybe a few months after the birth of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So the boy's mother, she was the magistrate's wife, she took the opportunity to carry the baby onto the chariot and place him before Lord Jagannath. And he was like crawling, trying to reach the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. And a garland fell from the neck of the Lord right on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his blessings. And also as an indication that he was that personality for whom Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had prayed. In his youth, he was given the name Bhimo Prasad, so to be proper we can call him Bhimo Prasad until he was given the name Saraswati Thakur. So Bhima Prasad was very brilliant. He had a photographic memory. And just by reading a book once, he could remember everything that was in the book. And the libraries had to order extra books just for him to read because he'd already read all the books in the library. in his youth, he formed a club of celibate young men to, encourage that determination to remain celibate. So many things could be said. He was a brilliant astronomer. We'll move along now. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you could say, was his first guru, Shiksha Guru, instructing spiritual master. But it is the etiquette that the biological father should not give diksha to the son. There may be many reasons, but it reminds me of the practice that a doctor should not perform an operation on his own family members. So, a very sort of intimate associate of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructed his son that he should approach Babaji Maharaj for initiation. And Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, from the material point of view, was not very educated. He could hardly read or write, even write his own name. But he was a highly elevated Mahabhagavat, pure devotee. So, Bimal Prasad approached him, and Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj avoided him, and he said, I will have to ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Bimal Prasad came back and reported to his father what had happened, and he said, oh, this is very bad. You were not successful. So he went again. And again, Babaji Maharaj avoided him. He said, Bimal Prasad inquired, did you ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And he said, oh, I forgot. So again he went home and reported to his father, and his father was very upset, and he said, you must get him to accept you, otherwise don't bother coming home. So he went again, and there the different versions, but he was in the mood of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song to the Vaishnava that if you are not merciful to me, I will not be able to maintain my life any longer. And when he came to that stage of abject humility and desperation, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj accepted him. So this is also instructive for us. We must have that mood of complete humility and feel desperate to receive the mercy of the Vaishnava. It is part of the process that the spiritual master will test the disciple. And later, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur commented that because he was such a brilliant scholar, that he was proud. And his Guru Maharaj was almost an illiterate fellow. And so he had to be purified of that sense of false prestige before he could actually accept his spiritual master and be accepted by him. He undertook a vow to chant 1 billion holy names. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur would chant 300,000 names per day. 64 rounds is 100,000. And so 300,000 is 64 rounds times 3. It's 192 rounds. It's a lot of rounds. And then, so that would be like 300,000 a day. And then, how many times 300,000 equals 1 billion? It's years. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he took that severe vow, and after about 8 or 9 years, he completed his quota. And Srila Prabhupada says that his Guru Maharaj underwent great austerities to begin this movement. In other words, he saw that austerity of chanting the holy name so many times as part of the preparation to start the movement, which became the Gaudiya Math and later sort of reappeared as this kind. So, but a great blow, you could say, came when both his father and Shikshaguru and also his Dikshaguru left this world within 1 year. And he became so despondent that he lost the spirit to preach. Even when he was doing his vow of chanting 300,000 names a day, he was still, even then, preaching. But then he had a dream. I believe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him. And I gave him solace that he should take up the mission, you know, continue the mission even in their absence. Actually, we could discuss this for days. It's really very poignant how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta felt after they left, that, you know, who would he show his writings to? Who would he give his reports course, to about his activities. So, yes, he began the Gaudiya Math, and yeah, he's a very fearless preacher, bold preacher, just like our Srila Prabhupada. And hundreds and thousands of, you know, devotees came and joined him. And he adopted many practices that were very unusual at the time in order to attract people. And he was very interested in attracting Westerners. You know, at the time, you know, India was under the rule of the British. And, you know, perhaps the British looked down on them as a subjugated people. But he, you know, he dressed, although he's like so austere and simple, but, you know, he would dress in a way that a British gentleman could appreciate. Oh, he's like on our level, on our standard. And he drove in a car, a motor vehicle, which, I mean, even when we went to India in 1970, you know, Srila Prabhupada said only the richest people could afford their own car. And this was like decades before that. I mean, practically only the rajas and rulers. But he had his car. He, you know, he built a marble temple in Bagh Bazar, Calcutta. He had a boat launch. And when he would receive like foreign dignitaries, like the British, he would have his disciples dress in a sort of combination of Indian and Western outfits. There are photographs that show all these techniques. And yeah, this is a very big thing. I mean, it's a little extreme example, but it would be as if, like, the earth was conquered by Martians. And, like, we got, you know, the heads of the Martians to come to our temple, and, you know, that would be, like, a really big thing. So, he did that. But what he really wanted was that Krishna consciousness should spread all over the world. And he even financed some disciples to go to England to preach. But they were not very successful. And he called them back. And so this was a great desire that he had within his heart, which was unfulfilled. And from the material point of view, it seemed hopeless. But as we know, that desire, and not just desire, but instruction, was fulfilled by our Srila Prabhupada. And I will read one excerpt. This is a three-volume book called Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav, written by His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav means the grandeur and glory of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, at the end of the book, towards the end of the book, Bhakti Vikas Swami has, you know, profiles of different disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he explains elements of their relationship with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and their service to him. So, within this section, Maharaj quotes a devotee named Nayananda Babaji, who was the pujari at the Champahati temple. We would always go there on Navadvi Parikrama in those days. To Maharishi Goswami and I and Shivaram Swami and Bibi Govinda Swami both in Navadvi Parikrama together. With, you know, the bogus kind of group. So we would go to that temple. It's a very sweet devotee. So he related this incident, which is quoted in his book. The last year that our Gurudev, that's Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the last year that our Gurudev organized and performed Navadvip Dham Parikrama, thousands of pilgrims assembled at our Champahati temple. There was an entire village of tents stretching in all directions. On the afternoon of the last day, one of our god brothers had just arrived in Navadvip, recently come from London by ship. He had gone there to preach, but he had returned without meeting full success. That evening, during his lecture, Guru Maharaj explained his earnest desire that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings be spread in the Western countries. He said that this was the last request of his mother, Srimati Bhagavati Devi. She's also a great devotee, Srila Bhakti Thakur's wife. He said that this was the last request of his mother, Srimati Bhagavati Devi, to him before she left this world, and that indeed it would happen. Consequently, he had been willing to take the lifeblood of the Gaudiya Math funds to send devotees there. Yet their attempts had been largely unsuccessful. At that point in his talk, I noticed something mysterious happened. Now, who's speaking? Yes. Nayananda Babaji, the pujari of the Champahati temple. At that point in his talk, I noticed something mysterious happening. Guru Maharaj had been looking out at the packed crowd of devotees, especially in the front. Like here we have our esteemed Prabhupada disciples in the front. So Guru Maharaj had been looking out at the packed crowd of devotees, especially in the front, where all the sannyasis and brahmachari and saffron cloth were. we have more in India. But the idea is, he up until this point, he was focusing his attention more on them as he was speaking about his desire. Then he turned his head and looked over to his left side, where I was standing. He was looking intently at someone and became silent for some time, just like saying, looking in the direction of Krishna Kripa, and I become silent. I happened to look behind me and saw that the person with whom he was making eye contact was Abhaychar Naravinda Prabhu, our Srila Prabhupada. I felt that they were looking at each other in a special way. Then Guru Maharaj turned and again addressed the audience in front of him and said, "But I have a prediction. However long in the future it may be, one of my disciples will cross the ocean and bring back the entire world." Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Srila Prabhupada's coming and saving us is an extension of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati's desire. So we're very indebted to him. I think according to the schedule, this is the time, but I don't have this schedule. Starting at when? Starting now. All right. I'll just read briefly from some of the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's last words, because they're very instructive for us, very deep and profound. This was 8 days before he left his world, and this is his final message to his disciples. "I have upset many persons' minds. Many might have considered me their enemy, but I was obliged to speak the plain truth of service and devotion towards the Absolute Godhead. I have given them all those troubles only so that they might turn their face toward the personality of Godhead without any desire for gain and with unalloyed devotion. Surely someday they will be able to understand that." Now he's addressing his disciples, and I think we can take these instructions as if they are meant for us. They are meant for us. All of you, propagate the message of Rupa Ravanath with full enthusiasm. Our ultimate desire is to become dust at the lotus feet of the followers of Rupa Goswami. All should remain united in following the Ashraya Vigraha. That means it could refer to their spiritual master. Generally, we could say all should remain united in following their spiritual master for the sake of serving the supreme knowledge. In this temporary world, you should live somehow or other only for the service of the Lord. In spite of all dangers, criticisms, and discomforts, do not give up your service. Do not be disappointed that most people in the world do not accept the topics of pure devotional service. Do not give up your own service for the process of chanting and hearing, which is your all in all. With humility like a straw and forbearance like a tree, you should always perform Hari Kirtan. There are many among you who are well qualified and able workers. We have no other desire whatsoever. There's many deep instructions there for us that we should remain united and work together. And we should not be discouraged because most people do not take to Krishna consciousness. But still, we should not give up our service. Nor should we give up the process of chanting and hearing. And in the conclusion, he said, there are many amongst you who are very qualified and able workers, and we have no other desire than to serve the lotus feet of the spiritual masters and become the dust of the feet of Rupa and Ravana. So now, well, next is going to be the Pushpanjali. Srila Prabhupada said that of all the elements in the ceremonies of the appearances and disappearances of the acharyas, the Pushpanjali is the most important. That's very spiritually potent. And then we'll have Guru Puja. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
I just like to acknowledge the five major disciples. Similarly, I wonder, Prabhupada also has names of disciples. Name disciples.
He's saying that Lord Chaitanya had, six prominent disciples who called the six Goswamis. But he had many others. The six Goswamis are placed together because they went to Vrindavan on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, and they excavated the lost holy places and they wrote books. And so they're the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. But he had many others as well. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, has compared the followers of Lord Chaitanya to a tree. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the trunk of the tree, and he's also the gardener. And that tree has many limbs and branches and twigs and leaves. And Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that all of them, he doesn't distinguish between big and small, but he considers them all to be worshipable because they're all connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should not have a material conception that some devotee is big or some devotee is small.
No, what I mean to say is that we think it's not here that we should give them the confidence. So there are typical thousands of things. I wonder if there are some disciples who are quite confident to me.
Yes, someone asked Srila Prabhupada, like, if, you know, who would be the leader after he left? Actually, I told something of this story on Gita Jayanti Day. It was actually Ramakrishna Bajaj. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, who will be the leader after you depart? And Srila Prabhupada said that anyone who follows the leader, he can become leader. Leader means someone who's a good follower of the leader, of the supreme leader. So it's not that Prabhupada named someone, or, you know, six, or, but he said anyone who follows the supreme leader, he can be a leader. The first thing is to follow. So we don't have that idea. Someone asked, you know, if he would name one acharya. And Srila Prabhupada said, I want all of my disciples to become acharyas. What about you? You become a good follower, you can become a leader.
I wish to be a follower rather than a leader.
Okay.
Good follower.
That's a good Dasani Das, servant of the servants. Any other questions or comments?
any other pastimes Rupa shared with you about Bhaktisthal Dasari Thakur, which you'd like to share?
You ask me if there are any other pastimes that Srila Prabhupada shared with us about Srila Prabhupada. There are many. Two come to mind now. When we were at the Ardha Kumbha Mela, Srila Prabhupada said how Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj had told Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur never to go to Calcutta, because Calcutta was like the bastion of Kali. But at a certain stage, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did leave Mayapur, and he went to Calcutta to preach. So Srila Prabhupada said, do you think my Guru Maharaj disobeyed the order of his spiritual master? And he said, no, because he was never in Calcutta. He was always in Vaikuntha. And another little incident. Srila Prabhupada went to visit his Guru Maharaj in Mayapur. And at that time, so his Guru Maharaj was on the balcony of his residence, and there was a snake slithering in the grounds. And so his Guru Maharaj ordered that the disciples should kill the snake. And Srila Prabhupada describes that he was very surprised that Guru Maharaj ordered that they should kill the snake, because the Vaishnavas don't kill any creature. But then later, he came across the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Prahlad was trying to pacify Lord Krishnadev with his prayers after the Lord had killed Hiranyakasipu, who was Prahlad's father. And, no one could pacify him. And then Srila Prabhupada, Prahlad Maharaj stated in his prayers to Lord Krishnadev that even saintly persons take pleasure when a snake or a scorpion is killed. And so Srila Prabhupada explains the psychology of Lord Krishnadev, that he was furious and his anger was not subsiding, and he was also angry thinking that maybe Prahlad would be upset with him for killing his father. And so Prahlad reassured him that, no, I'm not upset with you. Even saintly persons take pleasure when a snake or a scorpion is killed. So Srila Prabhupada read that verse and then he said, oh, yes, Guru Maharaj did right, ordered that the snake should be killed. And in the history of the Juhu struggle, there was, you could say, the adversary was one Mr. Nair, who tried to cheat Srila Prabhupada. He actually became very demonic. But anyway, so one day I was in Bombay, in a part of the city called Metro. And at least then, there would be vendors sitting on the sidewalk with newspapers and magazines and different things. So I looked down and I saw this newspaper, the big, like, bold headline on the front page, A.B. Nair dead, with a picture of Mr. Nair. And I felt very jubilant. I was actually, I felt like dancing. I might have even danced. And but then I thought, you know, is this proper? You know, we're trying to be devotees. Is this proper to feel elated that someone's died? And so then, so one of the devotees, Swami Srila Prabhupada, informed him. And a few days later, we got a letter in Juhu from Srila Prabhupada saying that, I've received a telephonic message that the demon Nair is dead. And if this is true, it is very good news. And then he quoted that verse from Prahlad Maharaj that even saintly persons take refuge when a snake or a scorpion is killed. So then I thought, well, it was all right. Unknowingly, I was acting in Vaishnava way. And then later I heard that in Juhu, the devotees were distributing sweets. So I thought, well, they must also be on that platform. So, yeah, there's many, many intricacies in the Vaishnava, and we're trying to become Vaishnavas, following the footsteps of Vaishnavas. But, yeah, so that these are two incidents that I remember hearing from Srila Prabhupada about his Guru Maharaj. Thank you for that question. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.